is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 843. My name, as it is on Wednesdays in September, is Lisa Sheps. I am joined once again by my amazing burpee co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at KOOP.org.
Step right up, the show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
Trouble. Oh, we got trouble.
Right in. It is Wednesday, September 24th, 2025. On the show today, we have Penfold Theater Company and their production of the 25th annual Putnam Valley Spelling Bee. And then we'll be talking to New Manifest Theater and their project, Manifest Minifest. And then later, we'll be talking to the Tubu Fest. And of course, we have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, and Canada. Don't go away.
If so, my friends, you got trouble.
You got trouble right here in River City, Nicole.
Yeah. Did you use this? Was that Hugh?
That was Hugh. Yeah. That was a 2022 production of Music Man.
I'm going to like him.
Yeah. Welcome. We missed you last week. You were not feeling well.
No, last week I had to go to Houston for the Kimberly Akimbo.
Oh, I thought last week you weren't feeling well. I guess it was the week before that
you
weren't feeling
well. Yes, the week before
well.
I had a stomach bug. But last week I had to go to Kimberly Akimbo.
Kimberly Akimbo, which we are going
to
talk about on this show next week. And we're looking really forward to it.
It's in San Antonio right now on its way up here to the Austin with the Ann Morrison, your neighbor.
Yep. Ann Morrison was great. We're going to speak to her next week. I interviewed her last week, pretending that it was next week. And we're going to have just so much fun.
Oh, very exciting.
Anyway, let's introduce to the folks that are joining us here in the studio. We have Scott Shipman. Hi, Scott.
Hello.
And Mick Garcia. Hi, Mick.
Hi.
Veterans all of Offstage and On the Air.
Dun, dun, dun.
So let me say right now, and I will probably say it again later, that the opinions expressed on Offstage and On the Air are not necessarily those of Co-op, its board of directors, its staff, underwriters, or, you know, anybody else that just walks in the door. It's just our opinions.
just the people here know that. Right now.
It's not Co-op, it's us. It's what I said to them when I broke up with them.
It's funny. It's not funny, but now when you say that, I never know where we're going. I would always know where we were going.
Yeah, you just wait.
Yeah.
Just you wait, Henry Higgins. So I played You Got Trouble right here in River City. First of all, the reason why I played... Well, not the reason why I played it.
You wanted to play Hugh, too.
I'm having trouble with my iTunes, which is where I get my music. I've got a beef to pick with them, and this is why I did the disclaimer, because I'm mad at Apple.
What did they do?
Every now and then, my password doesn't work. And then the only way to reset it is to call and speak to them. And then when you speak to them, they say, okay, it takes 24 hours to reset your password.
And
they're the only company in the world that can't just reset a password. Anyway.
How long did it end up taking them?
It still hasn't been done.
And when did you call?
Last night.
It's not 24 hours, but that's a little ridiculous and pathetic. I'm just saying.
But really, the reason why I'm doing this is that an article in the New York Times written by Michael Parr.
You know, I've never heard of such a thing. That is really ridiculous.
I know. And I felt really bad for the man I was speaking to because I was angry. And I said, I know this isn't your fault. I really hate to take this out on you, but you're the only one I can talk to. You're the only company in the world that can't reset a password.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sure it's for our protection.
I'm sure it is too, but 24 hours.
Feel free to laugh out loud. Scott and Mick are like miming laughter.
They blanket air quotes and cracking up in the background.
Which does not work on the radio.
Only acting.
There is an article in the New York Times that came out, I think, today or yesterday. They don't put the dates on these darn... Oh, yeah, September 22nd.
I was like, I think it came out earlier
this week. Which is, by the way, I guess I should have said...
About the musicals, right?
Good, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, just I'm taking a tangent here. And we've got to be careful on time because we have a lot of guests.
Yep.
good Yontiv to my Jewish listeners.
Oh, yes, the Rosh Hashanah.
Lashana Tova. It is Rosh Hashanah, or was Rosh Hashanah. It's time to eat apples and honey.
What a good combination.
It is. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Michael Paulson wrote an article, the title of which is The Broadway Musical is in Trouble. And it's really interesting when I read this. So here's some of the stuff it talks about. None of the 18 musicals that opened on Broadway last season have made a profit yet.
Nope.
A couple of new musicals like Tammy Faye, Boop, and Smash, each they cost at least $20 million to bring to stage, and they played for less than 4 months each.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's just money gone. Last Sunday, Cabaret closed, or this Sunday it's closing.
Yes.
And it was a costly conversion, and it's they are closing at a total loss, they say. Gypsy was amazing by everything I ever heard. Uh-huh. Anybody see it?
I didn't get a chance to.
All the amazing ones didn't make their money back.
Yep. Sunset Boulevard, which a big hit as well.
Tony win.
$15 million it cost. It lost money.
All these Tony wins. I know.
Yep. Oh, there it is. So I found that interesting. And the new musicals are faring a lot worse. So since the corona pandemic, 46 new musicals opened on Broadway, costing about $800 million total. How many of those 46 made money?
I would wager three.
I was thinking three as well.
What's your guess?
I read the article, so I know where you're going with all this, so I'm not playing this game.
Is it three?
It's three. Y'all got it. So you got it. You were closest without going over.
Yay. Price is Right rules.
It is. But I just find that amazing. I mean, we always know that Broadway is, it's that you don't make money on Broadway. But
do you happen to know the three?
Probably it's here.
Maybe
no, it doesn't
ending.
Say which ones.
No,
does
it didn't.
I would assume that one.
Maybe I did see Baby Happy Ending. I loved it.
I don't think it's made money back.
It's still running.
Yeah, it's still running. Yeah. The possibility is still there for them. Mm-hmm, but just realize it's one of those boutique musicals that wins the best musical, like, say, Fun Home, which also did not recoup, I don't think.
Yeah, no.
And Strange Loop, another one of those that are these niche. Mm-hmm. They call them niche. I don't think they're niche. The niche musicals that win Best Musical but don't end up being a lot of things. But the costs have gone up quite a bit, and the ticket prices haven't really gone up with it, even though the ticket prices are astronomically high.
Mm-hmm. You saw that Hamilton set another record when Leslie went it back into the cast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Hamilton is the exception that proves the rule, but Hamilton's also the problem because they started
yes,
this.
Yes, the ones that started it all, which is why I brought this up, but it topped the 900 Denzel George Clooney prices. It was even higher than that.
Wow.
Well, interesting. You should say that. So what you're talking about is the straight plays, which have been profitable. They've been doing quite well.
They have been.
Which is flip-flop from what history is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here they are. I've got them. MJ.
Oh, really?
Right. And Juliet.
Okay.
And Six.
Oh, not so funny. I just was playing you, Rachel Simone Webb from the Aunt Juliet, made the money.
What is common about those three musicals?
Jukebox.
They're songs people know. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Jukebox. Mm-hmm. Amazing. And then the other thing with all three of those, all got government assistance. Which is being stripped away from us.
Right.
So
and they're all on tour too. So they're very on multiple tours. So you can recoup in the tour also.
Guess what? I find this interesting, but again, it's another jukeboxy one. Last season's musical, Just in Time, the Bobby Darin.
Yeah.
It's going to recoup.
Wow.
They expect The Outsiders to get there as well.
I was about to say, keeping it local. Outsiders is creeping up there.
That one's touring now, isn't it?
It is.
It is. So here's something interesting. 10 years ago, Something Rotten had a cast of 25. It cost $14 million to capitalize. Oof. This year, Death Becomes Her Cast of 20, so similar things, $31.5 million to capitalize. So in 10 years, prices have, you know, costs.
I will say, there's additional cast and there are a lot of special effects in one where there is not that kind of level or amount of special effects in the other.
Yeah, they seem like they're both musicals, but not necessarily apples to oranges.
That's true. No. That's 100% true.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
So, I mean, there is a larger cast, which adds a bit of cost.
But certainly the spectacle of the
sets. But the budget of... That is another character in the show, quite honestly.
The costumes, the special effects.
Of the special effects.
The rigging alone.
Yeah. So that's
All right, well...
you didn't do that example, so that's...
I didn't do that example, but that's
true. That's not on you, but that was a really... That's like trying to compare Kander and Ebb and Sondheim. Mm-hmm. Apples and oranges.
Yeah, because Sondheim is one and Kander and Ebb is two.
Yeah.
Anyway, so just keeping with funding, we've had a little piece of good news. So we know that the NEA was... they had... two executive orders that that affected funding. One was DEI, and the other was gender ideation. And there was a lawsuit about having gender ideation. Well, they lost that lawsuit. So the NEA's funding can no longer prohibit funding projects that have that aren't following the current administration's rules about gender ideology, which I think is really, really good. They found it violated the First Amendment and found the policy arbitrary and capricious. Thank you very much.
Really? Capricious. Good use of the word.
Indeed.
And so I think that's really good. And that was implementing Executive Order 14-168. So that's good. All right. We just got to blast through a couple more things because then we're going to talk to our things. Things I want to talk about. Saturday Church is a play that opened off Broadway, which seems amazing.
Scott got excited.
I got confused.
We thought we were like, really switching topics.
What are we talking about here? I hadn't heard of this play before.
So. Yeah, well, it's a it is a musical. Is
that
a musical?
I hadn't heard of that one either.
Anyway, it's playing New York Theater Workshop. It is a musical. And I'm just going to read, this is a review written by Brittany Samuel. This is the New York Times, and they have no critic right now. So all of the critics are, and I like to use this word, stringers.
Stringers.
I like to say freelance, but I heard stringers on a podcast today, so I wanted to reuse it. So Brittany Samuel says, quote, "On the surface, the ballroom scene in the Christian church makes strange bedfellows, but consider their similarities. Both bless human beings with community, spread messages of love and transformation, and are training grounds for righteous talent. And both, lest we forget, have a fondness for a handheld fan." So I just think this is really good. So this is a story that centers on a character named Ulysses. He's a New York City teen who is whose name is a cheeky hint to the internal odyssey ahead. His grieving father find solace in St. Matthew's Church, but is barred from their choir because he's too gay. And I'm using air quotes. Mm. He's too flouncy, flamboyant, and too much. So this is basically Saturday Church is a church service that's accepting of queer folk that they do it on Saturdays. And that's the whole thing around this. It's based on the real life St. Luke in the Fields Church and with the West Village. And this is written by Damon Cardassus and James Imes.
That one name.
I can't imagine that that
James Cardassus or James
home.
Imes.
I think James Cardassus.
Yeah, I don't know
familiar.
That name either.
But it familiar, also but I don't know why.
Stars one J. Harrison Gee, who is a offstage and on the air alum.
Lola Let Me Wear Kinky Boots.
Did. And we have pictures to prove it.
We do.
They play two of Ulysses' guides, Pastor Lewis and Black Jesus.
And I wonder, that he's a pastor's kid, remember him talking about all that, I wonder how does that relate with his father? I mean, his father is very supportive of him, but like, that's you got to be able to pull a lot of experience from a kid. Yeah.
So this is kind of a jukebox musical as well. It was directed by Whitney White, who did Jaja's African Hair Braiding. Which I really wanted to see.
Forgive me a potentially ignorant question, but you used the term ballroom earlier. Is that like the same style as the Cats revival was?
Yes.
I heard that referred 100%. To
yes. Okay. Yeah.
Great.
Ballroom was the... was
voguing, basically.
Was voguing. It's where voguing came from.
Yes.
And it was the gay and drag culture in New York at the time. Anyway, but it looks good. The reviews were mixed to positive, but it's... sounds like something's good and want to do. You know what? We have to stop. But basically, I've got two things to say. First of all, I don't know how you feel about this, Nicole, because I can never read you.
Okay.
50 First Dates the Musical.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm so excited about it.
Really? Yeah, that's strange. Did not, it's not on my bingo card for you to be.
50 First Dates is one of those movies that if it was on, I watched it. I
for
just
real?
Loved it. Yes, I loved
oh,
it.
Oh, okay. That's funny.
I've actually never right. seen it.
It's a, what?
I know.
Oh
I
my God,
sit
you
through
must.
It, so.
Don't tell them I haven't seen it either.
Okay. It's so good.
Okay.
It is so good.
You're
so
excited.
Book, music, and lyrics by David Rossmer and Steven Rosen. And it's being directed by Casey Nicholaw.
Ooh, he's good times.
Playing the Lucy Whitmore as Georgina Castle. And Henry Roth is Josh St. Clair, played by Adam Sandler and
Drew
Barrymore, who I just love. Anyway, I'm sorry y'all don't love it. It's going to be so good. Y'all, your homework is to go see it and love
see,
it as much
I'm
as
excited
I
about Purple Rain. You're excited about 51st.
Yeah,
and I'm
yeah.
still waiting for someone to make the Waiting for Guffman musical.
Oh, my
gosh.
Oh,
my gosh. Well, that needs to happen.
I would see that. And the last thing I'll say before we go to break is that the American Theater Magazine sent out their most produced plays list. And I found it interesting.
Did you?
Well, that the number one most produced play is Come From Away.
Yeah.
Oh,
I found that interesting. I mean, I love it. And on the list is The Heart Sellers,
which
we just had on
the
show last week. And second year in a row for Heart Sellers.
Mm-hmm. I think Come From Away also in the next year, too, because of the 25th anniversary
mm-hmm.
of 9/11.
Yep.
And I think it has just where we are. I think it has spoken to a lot of people with its kindness.
Also on the list that I find interesting is Ain't Misbehavin', which I love.
Oh, it's a great show.
But it has been around for 30 some odd years.
It should be done a lot more. So that's fantastic.
I agree. No,
it's
I'm
on
not,
that list. I'm just putting it out there. Lisa.
I was not being negative
I knew
at
that.
All.
I knew
I'll
that.
Be negative later.
I knit that.
Count on it. Anyway, let's listen to a little bit of A Come From Away. This is Welcome to the Rock, which is the opening number. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the wildest weather that you've ever
had. I am an islander. I'm an islander. I am an islander. I just love that show. Has everybody
great.
Seen it?
Yes.
Yes.
Have we
so
seen
good.
It live or just the movie?
I have not been able to see it live yet. I saw the
Apple TV.
Yeah, the
pro, the pro shot.
The pro
yeah,
shot.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. That pro shot was good, mm-hmm. but I don't think that's one show in particular
the
that
energy is
very different in
palpable
person.
In a different way.
I had several friends who saw it when it came through Bass last yeah. time it was here.
And it was a good production.
Every single one of them was like, it was life changing.
Yeah,
it's
well, it's amazing.
Zach is doing it next year. So
oh, they
all,
are.
Yeah, yep. it's okay. on the season. So mm-hmm. we will all, if you're not in it, I don't know if you audition or not, we will all have a chance to.
Scott will be in it. How's yes. your Newfoundland accent?
Well, do you have to have a Newfoundland accent? Can you be some of the people from other places stuck there?
Oh, that's
well,
true.
Everyone
Never mind.
Will have to
well,
have some
most,
sort of accent.
Most people play a Newfoundlander exactly. and a... Because everybody doubles touché, and triples.
Touché, touché, Lisa.
There's also like, you know, every culture is represented in that show. So.
Yes.
That's true. So even I could be in it.
Yes.
yes. All right. But you guys are not here to talk about Come From Away.
No.
You're here to talk about the 25th annual Putnam Valley Spelling Bee.
Putnam County.
Putnam County.
Yes,
oh,
indeed.
And I did say Valley, didn't I, in the opening?
We chuckled.
Because Putnam Valley, and I think that's what I wrote, too.
Were you thinking of Harper Valley PTA?
Yeah, I did. Valley.
Valley.
Okay. Putnam Valley, I think, is an actual place in Pennsylvania.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think.
It's up there in the Northeast area.
Yeah.
Putnam County is in New York, so
yeah.
I assume it's.
So y'all are doing that over at Penfield up in Round Rock. And Scott, you are directing it, in case you didn't know.
Yes. Oh, thank you for clarifying.
And Mick, you are playing my favorite role in it.
Aw, I also love
because
Olive.
Because you speak a few languages.
Oh, actually, that one's not me.
I thought that was you.
No, Olive. I thought Olive.
I thought Olive was that.
Okay. That's Marcy.
Yes.
Marcy.
Olive gets the I Love You song.
Okay, never
that
mind.
Beautiful trio.
That's the still the like heartbreaking
still my favorite.
One.
Right. Because, I mean, because you're here.
Yeah.
Thanks, Lisa. So, all the kids are the favorites for sure.
Scott, tell us about this show. What's it about?
So it is a show about a group of adolescent or pre-adolescent kids who are at a spelling bee. And there's a lot of fun, silly improv. There are four guest spellers from the audience that are selected each night to come join us on stage and participate. And as what I love about the show is as silly and humorful as it is, it's also full of a lot of heart as we see all the things that these kids are thinking and going through in their internal monologues.
It really is.
Am I good enough? Mm-hmm. And their home lives and the things, you know, sort of reminds us that you never really know what someone else is going through sort of thing. And so it's this beautiful combination of heartfelt and just hilarious. So that's why I've always loved it since it first came out.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And so Mick, who are you playing? You're playing Olive. Tell
us
about her.
Yes, Olive Ostrovsky is, you know, a 10-year-old girl who comes into the spelling bee as sort of an outcast. She's doesn't really have many friends. One of her main songs is talking about how her dictionary is just, you know, her favorite, most reliable friend. And, you know, she sort of struggles with the fact of what is her idea of winning? Why is she at the spelling bee? And sort of, you know, her family dynamic comes into play while she's there. And, you know, she discovers that winning might not be what she thought it was towards the end without spoiling. But so it's a very cool journey that she goes on and a very heartfelt and hilarious one for sure. Like Scott
said. So when we come see it at Penfold Theater, what if I don't want to be part of it and I have been asked to be a guest speller?
Well, you won't be, because the way that we've worked it is when you buy your tickets, then there is a question that says, do you want to be considered in the pool of spellers or do you just want to watch? And so the only people that we will consider are people who have explicitly said when they got
they'd
it.
Like that's good.
Now, I've seen this show multiple times, and guess how many times I've been asked to be a speller?
How many?
Zero.
What?
I don't know.
For real?
For real.
Are you a good speller?
No.
That doesn't matter.
That's true.
I am a T-E-R-R-I-B-L-E speller.
Me too.
Really, really bad. Well, it's a lot of fun. And y'all opened last week, yes?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. So you've got one more. This weekend is it. Weekend.
That's correct.
So if people want to see it. And tell folks, I mean, I already know this and I've talked about it on the show. Yeah, for many of us here in Austin, Round Rock seems pretty far away. Why do we want to go all the way up there to see this show?
Well, the thing that I love about the Penfold space that's new over the last year is that it's a hub for all of the arts organizations. There's an art gallery that's in it. We have dance companies that come in. There's concerts and operas and all sorts of things, because Round Rock didn't have a professional space like
right.
that. In terms of why should people go up that way, it's not that far away. Well, don't take 35, but...
don't take 35 at 5 o'clock.
It's not that
and
far.
Yet, and yet you have to take 35. But
you can
but
go different ways, but there's a whole... Like, there's tons of places to eat
that's
and
true.
Get ice in, cream, and this complex has other things to do,
absolutely.
So you're not
absolutely.
Like...
It's I always go get fried
getting,
chicken before
yeah,
I go.
At Tumble 22.
Yes, at Tumble 22.
And there's a
Via
313 pizza.
Get the good pizza.
There's Velvet Taco. There's a ramen place.
It's
Kirby Lane.
The ramen place is always busy. I can never get in.
Yeah. But it's a nice it's a nice place to go and have an evening, yeah. right? Where you can have your meal and your entertainment and whatever you want to do.
I will
afterwards.
Say they're also not far from it is Main Street in Round Rock, mm-hmm. and there's some mm-hmm. really
which
great places there and charming too. So you really can make a night of it.
Yeah.
And do it two different ways.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So this show plays this final weekend. And where can folks go to get more information?
PenfoldTheater.org.
Great.
And that is theater with an R-E
yeah,
on
you don't
there.
Have to say that
that's
to our audience.
Way here.
really quick, like, I mean, super quick. Scott, you work for Penfold.
I do now, yes.
What's next up for Penfold?
Next up for Penfold, we have a youth show called Rosita y Conchita, which is playing for one weekend at the end of October. And then the Christmas show is A Tuna Christmas this year.
Wonderful. And they can all get information at the website.
Correct.
Wonderful. Scott, Mick, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I wish I could come see it. I've got shows at the theater, and I'm not going to... I was going to try to go last Sunday. I wasn't able to.
It's the problem that we all artists deal with, is we are all in our shows. We want to love everyone else's show at the same time.
Yep.
All right. Well, that was Scott Shipman and Mick Garcia of Penfold Theater Company's 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, playing now through the 28th. And more information at penfoldtheater.org. And I know I thought this was Olive, so you're just going to have to forgive me. This is I Speak Six Languages.
Hey, it's an iconic song.
I speak six languages.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP with me, Lisa, and...
me, Nicole.
I caught her mid lip gloss. We have switched gears. We now have new guests here in the... I was about to say theater. Well, this is kind of a theater.
It kind of is.
New guests in the theater. We have from New Manifest Minifest, or New Manifest Theater, the founder and artistic director, Simone Alexander.
Hiya.
Hi. And as part of today's Manifest Minifest, one of the playwrights, one of the directors, one of both?
Playwright.
Christine Wong.
Hi.
Hello. Hi. I am so excited. So this is happening this weekend. Or next weekend.
Next weekend.
At Ground Floor Theater. Mm-hmm. Tell us about Minifest. This is year six.
Yeah, it's our sixth Manifest Minifest. Really came about because of the great collaboration that can happen between a director and playwright, especially contemporary work. It's something I really enjoy. And I wanted to share that with my artist community. So for the past 6 years, we've normally produced 4 to 6 plays. This year's 4. All Austin playwrights or affiliations with Austin in the past. So that feels really great too. Short plays. Our theme is The Revolution Will Not Be Televised.
Which I love. Can you talk about...
That's a great title.
Yeah. What made you choose that as... And folks will know that that is a 1960s... song. I have it in quotes, which is very interesting, by Gil Scott-Heron. What was the reason why you chose that for this year's Minifest?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very timely. I feel like arts has always been a great conduit for change and sharing ideas and messages. And I felt like that could really activate a large amount of playwriting inspiration. And funny enough, this is our largest submission pool that we had. We had over 200 submissions of plays this year. So we got together a playwriting committee of almost 10 artists, playwrights, and directors to whittle that down to the 4 that we have. But all of the plays that we got submitted were really, really great. So it was also just a wonderful time to be reading what people have to work with these days.
Yeah, it's amazing. And so, Christine, you are one of those playwrights that wrote on this theme.
That's right.
Tell us about how you use that inspiration and how you use that information to create your piece, and tell us about your piece.
So the name of my short play is Revolution Island, and I got the name... because I binge watched Love Island season 7, but it has nothing to do with crash outs or anything like that. I just use the word island. And when I first saw the prompt, I immediately listened to the song, which is like a spoken word piece with music. And I struggled. I was like, I don't know how to get into this work. I'm not really sure what I have to say. And then I met someone for the first time, and she said, "Hi, how are you?" And I immediately said, "I'm perimenopausal." Because it was deep in the summer, it was hot, and I was just like, it is hot. And I don't even know this woman, but it just came out. And then she said, "You should write about that." And I said, "You know what, I should." And I was like, that was my in for this prompt, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. So I was like, I'm going to sit down and write about perimenopausal anger. And then what came from that, because I had this writing group on the weekend, and we just kind of sit in the Zoom, and we write for 45 minutes, and then we come up for air and say, how did you do? I wrote a skeletal of this short play with one person I had intended to go in with. And I came out of that 45 minutes with four characters. And I was like, I just left space for the monologues. But I was like, I have four characters. They all have choices. And in the end, they have to make a big choice. And the four characters are four women from different generations who, you know, are walking and living the earth right now. And then in the end, I submitted it 2 weeks later, and then I got in.
Yay. Well, so tell me, so these are these are not readings. These are produced plays.
Yeah, they're produced plays. They're all pretty minimal in production, just because for each performance, we will be doing all four plays. So no matter what show you see, you will see all four plays. Yeah.
So who are the other playwrights and shows that you have?
So we have plays by Mia King, Christine, Adrian Doss, and Cleo James Ryan.
That's a great group
of playwrights. All of the plays are vastly different, so that's also great. But along with the plays, as part of the festival, we do have two artist workshops as well. Christine is actually leading our playwriting workshop on October 4th. And then Lacey and Carl Gonzalez are leading our directing workshop on September 29th.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. I actually was able to participate in one of them a couple years ago. And the people that come to it are really engaged, and I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, I think the best part about the workshops is it is a really intimate workshop. So we do cap the workshops, but it just creates opportunity for more community to really get to know the people that you're taking the workshop with and to know the workshop lead as well.
You're in a class or a workshop with a group of people that are all like excited to be there at the same time. It already sets the tone in a good spot, but then it's just so cool to see how everybody gets inspired in different ways. Like even learning a language, like on anything like that, that collective, it's exciting. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to the revolution will not be televised. So it's really a screed against capitalism and corporate culture. And he talks about a lot of things, but it was all done in the 60s. And everybody here is a little bit younger than I am. And I'm just curious whether you get some of these references. So one of the references is put a tiger in your tank. Does that mean anything to anybody? Mm-hmm.
Is that the Exxon tiger?
It is. Very good. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Or at the time it was called Esso. Exxon did not exist back then. What about the nubs? He talks about the nubs. This will not cure the nubs. Do you remember the nubs?
I do. My grandmother has used that term.
It's for shaving cream.
Shaving cream. That's what it is.
I just love all these things. And actually, on their Wikipedia page, they go through a lot of these references. But I got a big kick out of just some of the corporate references. Give your mouth sex appeal.
Oh, now, I don't think this product, like slogans. Was I don't that think, product back? I think that product.
I don't think this
later.
Product exists anymore.
Mm. No,
a mouthwash.
It's a toothpaste, Ultra Bright.
I don't think it does either. I think that one went by the wayside in the late 90s.
Yeah. I just find it very interesting. Do any of the
plays... You're making me sit here and think about stuff like Mr. Whipple and all these other
Mr.
things.
Mr. Whipple. Mm-hmm. Please don't squeeze the charm. Do any of the other plays deal with corporate culture or...
They do. Mia's play is really interesting because it takes more of a look at social media as it has to do with capitalism. Mm. So really like the influencer culture of, you know, using codes for purchasing items and trying to get enough followers to hit a different category to get more money for the ads that you're having to produce. So I think all of them are pretty interesting, especially applying it to today's world. And I think the revolution will not be televised really applies like through the generations.
Yep, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
I think I read like Cleo James Ryan's piece, and I didn't read it.
Oh, yeah, about the podcast.
Yeah, and about a comedian and First Amendment rights, and she wrote all of that before.
I know.
That's not timely at all.
I know. It was actually, there have now been discussions, especially in the last week, because that play is so relevant, it is a little scary. But also, we chose it because it was just so good.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Great. We are completely out of time. This is happening next weekend. What are the actual dates?
September 29th is the directing workshop. The shows themselves will be October 1st through the 4th.
Great.
And then playwriting workshop also on the 4th.
And where do folks go to get more information?
Newmanifest.org.
Great. Well, thank you all so much for being on the show.
Yes, thank you.
And it's all happening at Ground Floor Theater.
It is. Yeah. I should say, and you might get angry with me for saying this, but I should tell our people that Simone has welcomed a new child into her life.
I have, yeah. Life is crazy right now.
Stinking cute
and she
one
is adorable.
At that.
Yeah. So mazel tov and congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay. That was Simone Alexander and Christine Wong of New Manifest Theaters, Manifest Minifest number 6. The show itself opens October 10th and plays through the 4th. For more information, newmanifest.org. And of course, I would have to play The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. We'll be right back.
The revolution will not be televised.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa and Nicole. We've had another change of the guard here. I want to introduce the folks that are here. We have the incomparable Liz Ross. Hi, Liz.
Hi.
We have Madison Jackson.
Hello.
And Insha Iqbal.
Hello.
Hi. We're going to talk about our local stuff first. We're going to take a break. We're going to come and talk to you all about Tubu Fest, which we just heard a little commercial for. Feel free to chat about this or to join us in our conversations, which isn't really going to be so much of a conversation, but just enjoy yourselves regardless.
Us rattling off things.
I saw this and I had never heard of this. This is a new company or a company that was created just for this called L.A. Pow or La Pow Theater.
Bollinger.
Yes, you knew about this.
I know John Bollinger.
I know John Bollinger. We went to Texas State together.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, he's doing a show called Salty Banana.
Yes.
Which has an amazing cast.
Yeah.
He wrote it and directed it. In the cast are, where'd it go? Where'd that list go? Martin Burke and Meredith McCall, mm-hmm. who haven't been together in a long, long time.
Uh-huh.
They have actually been on this show together many times. Amy Downing, Quinn Walton, Linda Neno, Tyler Jones, and Melissa Grogan. What an amazing cast.
Uh-huh. That's
stacked. Melissa Grogan was actually my teacher at Texas State, too.
There you go. So here it is. Salty Bananas is billed as an experience through melodrama and a fast-paced comedy, .. until it isn't. So that's all I know, and it is actually playing October 9th through 26th at the Stage Austin. I'm sure we'll talk about them later, but that's the thing I just want to highlight right now before we go through our list.
That made me happy.
And I don't know. I'm sure I probably have met this person. But
I feel like you might know the John Bollinger.
All right. Yeah. He's probably listening right now going, Lisa, we were married for 3 years. okay. You ready to go through our list?
Yes.
Okay. I was waiting for that answer. You do the first one because you'll probably correct the typo.
Penfold Theater, we just had them on. Penfold Theater with the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, playing now through this weekend, the 28th.
The Vortex has got the Wizard of Dogs. They are playing through the 28th.
Mary Moody Norton Theater is in the Amazon.
Parking lot.
Oh, in the Amazon parking lot. I didn't know if the space was
something
different.
That was just
but
me.
Yes. Now through the 28th.
Hyde Park Theater, Learning to Human, is playing through October 4th.
Tex Arts with Greater Tuna. That's playing the 19th, now through the October 5th.
Austin Playhouse has got The Importance of Being Earnest, playing through the 19th.
Yeah. Oh, that was a fun one. How you did that. Yeah.
And also, I'll just throw this in there at the same Thames Theater in their studio stage at the Heart Cellar. We had them on last week, is playing through the 19th.
They open on the 3rd.
Oh, they open on the 3rd, plays mm-hmm. through the 19th. Sorry.
Filigree Theater with Summer in Smoke playing this weekend, the 26th through October 12th.
And they're playing at the Link. Tubu Fest. We're just about to hear from them. Plays the 25th through the 27th at Ground Floor Theater.
New Manifest, but it's not the mini. Is it the mini fest?
Yes.
Yeah, it's called the mini fest. I'm thinking four plays. Sorry. New Manifest Mini Fest is October 1st through 4th at Ground Floor Theater. We just spoke to them.
City Theater. We're going to have them on the show in a couple of weeks. To Kill a Mockingbird is playing October 3rd through the 19th, and I don't think they're doing the Sorkin To Kill a Mockingbird.
Interesting.
Which I thought was required.
I don't know.
Yeah, I thought that when that whole Michigoth happened that they
that
said
it was. It, I thought you were correct on that too. Well, we'll learn.
Well, we're
going to
learn.
Guess. Yeah. Yeah. Georgetown Palace has In the Heights playing October 3rd through November 2nd.
Wonderful. Our auditions, we have Rude Fusion and Rude Mex, A Bad Influence. Those auditions are happening on October 19th. Austin Shakespeare is auditioning for My Children, My Africa on the 20th. That's in the past, isn't it? You missed it. you missed it. And
unless
I
you're
get
a time traveler.
I can get all of that information on atxtheater.org. You can get it there too. Another good spot to look for auditions is CTX Live Theater. Today in theater history,
tell us about the stuff that happened.
We're going to start with the shows.
Okay.
No. Yes. We're going to start with the
shows.
The Height of the Storm opened in 2019. Why don't I remember
the
show?
I thought that was earlier. I don't remember the show, but I remember the title.
I still thought
it was earlier than that. So don't know.
But the Music Box opened once in a lifetime back in 1930. Liz, you remember that.
Mm.
Yep.
And then in 1976, O Calcutta opened.
O Calcutta.
And O Calcutta.
That caused a stir.
It caused quite a stir.
Quite a stir.
It was a naked musical.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
It was a review.
It was around the Chorus Line time. 1975.
And it did not do well at first, and then it was revived in 1977.
And it played for
5,000 performances.
Yeah.
But my favorite...
Fully nude the whole time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite ad campaign...
The old commercial for it on the TV?
It's billboard.
Yes.
It was a billboard. And what it showed was it's nude, and this was the revival, only 2 years after it happened. And it showed a whole bunch of naked people from behind with a blanket covering their hinies, and they're all looking over their shoulder, and the title read, O Calcutta's Back.
Yep. It was great. It was everywhere. You would drive down the West Side Highway and all
fantastic.
Over the place.
That's I just think that's
but
great.
The old Broadway commercials then were really good too. They just were.
Yep, I'm going to agree. Our birthdays, a lot of them, I don't know. Ed Devlin, Michael Friedman, John Logan, Harriet Walter.
I know all these names, so I wonder if I see Fleetwood. These people.
I know this one, Ben Platt.
Oh, yes.
I love Ben Platt.
And I know this one as well, Anthony. I'm trying to do my Anthony Newley, and I can't. Wasn't he in Roar the Grease Paint Smell of the Crowd?
Oh.
I could not find a recording of it.
I don't know.
But he was in...
I want to say yes, but I mean, would you like me to Google that for
no,
you?
No. He was definitely in Stop the World, I Want to Get
Off. Want to Get Off, yeah.
And we
some
will...
Some good music in that.
Yeah, I don't really know it all that well. I should look at it.
Yeah, I think you would like that album in your
But let's listen to the... And I would say this is the correct use of the voice. The iconic voice of Anthony Newley. I wouldn't say he's iconic, but his voice is iconic.
Touche.
He's got a very specific voice style. And here he is singing...
It's not like Wolfgang Jack, though.
Wolfman Jack. He's going to sing Gonna Build a Mountain. We'll be right back.
When I've built that heaven, as I will someday.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air on Co-op with Lisa
and Nicole.
And we just made up that song.
Bum, 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 bum.
I'm so happy to have these next people on. I don't think y'all came on last year, but this is a Tubu Fest, which is theater for us, by us, a disability fringe festival that is, we are lucky enough to have one of the co-creators and co-op DJ programmer, Liz Ross. Hi, Liz.
Hi. Happy to be here and on the radio again.
We have I think you're both directors of pieces. We have two directors of two of the pieces of Two Buffets. Madison Jackson.
Yes, glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. And Enche Iqbal.
Hello.
Liz, tell us about Two Buffets. What is it? Why did you start it? What's going on? What is it?
Two Buffets is theater for us, by us. It's a disability short fringe theater festival. The plays are written by people with disabilities. The majority of the directors are people with disabilities, and the majority of actors are actors with disabilities. And we put it all on over a couple of, throughout the year, there's works in of it being done in progress, but it's done over 3 days, 15 plays, 5 a day, and you only get to see each one once. They're about 15 to 25 minutes, and it's beautiful.
And that's a lot of plays. And I don't want to pit you against anybody else, but we just had a festival, theater festival, as the guest before you, and they're only doing 4 plays.
It's a lot. We just took a picture. We had a photo shoot this weekend on Sunday, which was our load-in day, and did each one had like 8 minutes to do a photo shoot, and we got 15 photo shoots done, and it was beautiful. We had everybody there and then get together, and like 50 people in the space. We've brought a lot of people together to really make this happen.
So Liz, why is Two Buffets important? Why are you doing it?
Well, the at its core, representation is important. Theater spaces aren't all accessible to people with disabilities, and oftentimes people with disabilities don't get hired. Or they don't get brought into shows. They don't get thought about. The audition process isn't always accessible to people. And so we create a place and an opportunity to kind of break through all of that and show that representation matters and accessibility matters in theater, and show a different way and educate as well.
And by accessibility, you mean that in every sense of the word?
Yes. We create accommodations for people in whatever way they may need it, and in a collaborative, creative sense as well. Right.
And so a disability may not be, you may not be able to physically see that. Mm-mm. They're not all visible to people.
Mm-mm. No, for example, I have epilepsy, and it is invisible. And we also have people with visible disabilities, and we have wheelchair users. We have all kinds of things, but we don't ask, we don't card. It's only something if, like, you people only openly disclose if they choose.
Right. I mention that because a lot of people, when they think accessibility, they go, what are you talking about? We're accessible. We have a wheelchair ramp. Mm-hmm. And they kind of leave it at that, and they don't realize.
Yeah. It's so much more than that.
So much more than that.
We don't allow, like, flashing strobe lights because that's not good for people with epilepsy. Mm-hmm. Like, we have a audio description every night because it's been requested every night. We have one play that's a deaf play that's being done on Sunday and
Saturday.
I'm sorry, I'm very tired. Saturday, and it is there's the whole night we'll have ASL, and that play will be done completely in ASL with audio translation, and we also will have every night will be live streamed with captioning. And it is, we have the entire front row is at the ground floor theater, can be removed for people that have wheelchairs or other mobility devices that need.
Yep.
It's cool.
So wonderful. Madison, tell us about the play you're directing.
Yeah, so my play is Behind Two Walls, and that's by Jay Lewis. And it is talking about a family that's been separated because of the Ukraine war. So it's set over 3 different time periods in 2022, 2024, and this couple has been separated. They haven't seen each other in 2 weeks, and then we see them again. They haven't seen each other in 2 years. And just how war can really deteriorate a person, like mentally, and how the relationship suffers from it. And they also have a child, so they had to think about their kid, and how, you know, even her going back into the war zone to visit her partner is super risky. And at the end, she's just begging him to, like, come with her. And it's just really, like, we're talking about real things and real people. And this is based off of a couple who the playwright interviewed who are from the Ukraine. So this is just something that, you know, we don't always see in theater. And I think that Tubu Fest, like, bringing this to the forefront and just getting people to talk about it and be aware of, like, things that are going outside of us is super important.
And how did you come to direct this particular piece?
So Liz actually reached out to me and she's like, hey, we have this play. We want you to read it. And would you be comfortable directing this? So she made sure that, like, that was something that I was interested in. And I'm very much, like, you know, uncovering some of these, like, it's not a, like, it's happening now, but uncovering some of these truths that are happening was something that's super, like, I'm passionate about that. So
So what she's not sharing is that she is getting her doctorate in opera and has studied like that, which you do have to study a bit of different languages.
Yes.
And that did give her a little bit of insight and maybe assistance in this specific category, which we were very trying to pay attention to.
Amazing. Wonderful. Incha, tell us about your show that you're directing.
My play is called Vernal Roost. It's by Candace Rusk, who's a local playwright.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, but I'm going to cut you off for a moment because I was at their meeting, and I'm very intrigued about this. I know nothing about it, but Incha got up at the end and said she needs volunteers to play Grackles. And, like, a lot of Grackles. So I need to hear more about that. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm so excited to hear your story.
So you'll be so excited to hear that every single actor in my play is a Grackle except for one. We only have one human, but honorary Grackle. And this play is about a group of Grackles who sit above the HEB parking lot. And they are getting together in quorum to discuss their revenge plan on the human beings. And they are trying to decide whether or not to leave out the accessible parking spaces in their bombardment of the parking lot.
Amazing. How big is the cast? How many Grackles do you have?
I was about to say, how many Grackles?
And the actual cast, and then...
So our actual cast is 8 people, which is a large
cast. That's a lot. Yeah.
That's big. Especially for a festival where all of the directors are sharing actors and sharing rehearsal spaces and all of those things. It's been a lot of, like, managing different people's schedules. But I'm sure. So glad that we got to make it happen, because when you think of a flock of Grackles, it's so much more, like, fun and silly and impactful if there are 8 Grackles as opposed to, like, 3 Grackles.
It's true. And unfortunately, we're almost out of time, but how did you find yourself directing this piece?
Yeah, I actually met Liz when she came to see one of the shows I was working on at the Vortex, Mother Tree, and we started chatting, and she started telling me, I run this festival that is about accessibility and disability advocacy, which is something I'm really interested in, and I really wanted to learn more about bringing accessibility into theater, because I think it's about so much more than just, like, physical access into the space. It's about making sure that everyone feels welcome and empowered to create at the highest level. And so I was like, oh, I would love to be a part of this. Like, how can I? And so that's kind of how we got here.
Amazing. Well, we are totally out of time. This happens this weekend. What are the actual dates?
September 25th through 27th. Doors at 6:30 and starts at 7 p.m.
And where can folks go to get more information?
At the Glorious Ground Floor Theater.
GloriousTheater.org or TubuFest.com is also a good place to go. Well, thank you all so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
That was Liz Ross, Madison Jackson, and Incha Iqbal of Tubu Fest. They are playing this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, at Ground Floor Theater. For more information, you may visit TubuFest.com. And this is just what I think about this whole thing. I believe it is a beautiful project. So I'm playing It Means Beautiful from There's Something About Jamie. And it's beautiful. Okay, we are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. I am going to take this last minute to do a little rant, if I may.
Oh, okay.
Which I
don't know what we are on.
No,
this time.
You don't know what we are. And it's going to kind of go off topic. But I want to reiterate that the views expressed here are not necessarily those of co-ops, board of directors, staff underwriters, or volunteers. This Jimmy Kimmel thing that just happened really affected me in ways that I cannot explain. in terms of the attacks that are going on a lot of different people and different communities and different organizations around this country right now. And I never really felt personally attacked when I did my coming out to my family. They were relatively and reasonably supportive of what I did. I was not hated and vilified by everybody.
So I didn't really understand.
I'm talking about my story.
Yeah. No, that's awesome to hear.
I didn't really understand how other people felt when they went through their coming out story or being vilified or hated by groups of people. And now I'm starting to feel that. With bathroom bills being passed in the Texas Senate and Texas legislature, with Ronnie Jackson calling for the institutionalization of trans people, gender-affirming care, all the words we're hearing about how trans people do not have a right to exist, the NEA and the other things taking funding away from lots of different things, feeling really attacked on so many different sides as an artist, as a trans person, as a Jew, as so many things. And I just think that, I don't know what I'm trying to say with this, but I just want our country to wake up and start working with a little bit more empathy mm-hmm. for our fellow people. I'm really angry. And for the first time in my life, I'm frightened.
I've never heard you say that.
Yep. And and that feeling of isolation is palpable. And if I'm feeling it, who as a relatively privileged person, I just think about how other people feel, other trans people, immigrants, foreigners, people that just don't speak the language, people that are just different. So I would just ask our listeners, and I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir here and I'm completely out of time, so I've got to stop talking. Folks, thank you for listening to me. We'll be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And I just chose this song because it's beautiful. Tracy Schultz is back next with What's New. This is Dear Theodosia from Hamilton.
I think it's a
gorgeous song to do. We'll see you next week.
Dear Theodosia, what to say to you? You have my eyes, you have your mother's name. When you came into the world, you cried, and it broke my heart. I'm dedicating every day to you. Domestic life was never quite my style. When you smile.